is the Global Star Radio Network.
Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and they're correct. And what we're going to tell you here on this program is as correct as we can possibly be. This, considering the fact that the major media here in the United States is controlled by five major mega corporations, and they control 90 to 95% of the media, and as a result, they're largely able to control what the American people hear, what they see, what they read, and ultimately what the American people believe. And one of the hardest things, I think, is for the average individual to accept the fact that he's been lied to in grammar school, he's been lied to in high school, he's been lied to in college, that the major news magazines are controlled by the same people who control the television, and of course they're not telling you the truth. Now, if you were to go to Europe, well, you'd get an entirely different perspective of what's going on. Over there, they understand the satanic nature of the Bilderbergers. In fact, there was a march in Belgium some years ago called the White March. You know, Belgium's a small country, only a few million people. There were over 300,000 people who turned out to march against the Bilderbergers and the pedophile network that they represent. But understand that these things go on all throughout the world. It's just that the American people do not understand the true nature of the satanic forces aligned against freedom, or that are using the financial and military power of the United States to create an empire which will ultimately become the New World Order, with a New World Religion, with a New World Leader. And that has been the aim and goal of the ancient secret societies and the mystery of religions since almost the beginning of recorded time, and that's exactly what's going on today. But really what's so interesting is that the secrets of the mystery religions have been kept concealed for almost 5,000 years, and it really, you know, it was worth your life in the past to bring out the fact that there was another dimension, that you could tap into that dimension, that you could have supernatural experiences, and that you could begin to benefit, you could begin to obtain money and wealth and power and sex and drugs and whatever you really wanted, as long as you were tapped into that other power. But of course, what it is, of course, is a Luciferian power, and you're actually contacting the supernatural forces from the other dimension. And there is another dimension out there, and until you understand that, and that is what is really directing this drive towards the world government. Because, of course, Lucifer has always wanted to rule the world. He's always wanted to be his God, and this is not imaginary. If you believe the Bible, as I do, and we happen to read the writings of the Luciferians, and they believe in the Bible, they just put a different twist on it, and they think their God's going to end up on top of this whole thing, and they're doing everything right now to bring more and more people into a realization that there is great power if you align yourself with the dark side. And that's why Rhonda Burns and Jim Carrey and certainly Oprah Winfrey are featuring this whole idea. Rhonda Burns' book and DVD, The Secret, and she will tell you there's a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years through the ancient mystery religions, and she's absolutely right. And she says that you can obtain power. It's like contacting a genie. If you haven't seen her DVD, it's probably worthwhile wasting $25 or borrowing one from somebody else to see what she's telling people. But of course, in the final analysis, what are they telling you? That you can tap into your own supernatural power because you are God. And she actually says that in her book, You Are God. Well, because that was the message of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And of course, we are not God. and we can never become a god. And that is the message of the false religions, of all of the cults. And, well, we're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, because they believe we're approaching the end of civilization, and they're bringing the story out because they know there'll be no retribution and no action taken against them. And they think they're on the winning side. Well, of course, we're on far rather lose on God's side than win on their side. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story that you've not been told from. AnotherUntoldStory.com.
This story, an untold love story, is actually about the greatest love story never told, found in the greatest storybook ever written. And it's quite a story. A story of love. It involves love, romance, intrigue, conspiracy, action, and even murder. It's almost like an R-rated movie. God loves. That love has been told to us as the love of a father for a son, the love of a creator for his creation, the love of a shepherd for his flock. But what's been untold is romantic love, the love of a man for a woman. Listen to these words from that book. Quote, "May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine," end quote. That book tells of a love, a breakup, a divorce, and an attempted makeup, and even an insane murder. For example, it says, God's a divorcee. I read from the book, quote, "And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce." You've never been told that God's a divorcee? It's an untold story, told in the greatest love story, but it's never told. For more of that untold story, go to AnotherUntoldStory.com. Another untold story.
For another untold story, go to AnotherUntoldStory.com. 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 AnotherUntoldStory.com.
Dr. Stan, our special guest, is here this afternoon, so we're going to be talking to him. But if you want more information on what I've just been talking about, you really need to get our three pamphlets set, The Occult Hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy that rules the world, at least that's what they claim. And certainly you'd want to get my talk on the forbidden secret with the syllabus that comes with that. That's the forbidden secret, because you'll get the documentation there. And then, of course, even more to the point would be my talk on the planned police state. And we give you some of their documents from the other side, from the dark side, from the supernatural dark side. What are they saying? What are they telling us? Well, you want to get the planned police state and the syllabus. I recommend it to you. However, right now, let's get to our special guest this afternoon, sitting one of my special guests, and I'm sure that you look forward to hearing him every week here. And his name is William Grigg, formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine, and now certainly working for the Welch Foundation, writing a blog, writing books, and we do carry his latest book on the Eclipse of Liberty, the Eclipse of Liberty, and we look forward to what he's going to be talking about today. William, how are you today?
A little harried, but otherwise all right.
All right, well, I think they're all a little harried, but anyway, tell us what you'd like to talk about.
Well, Dr. Stan, one of the things we're going to have to do, I think, is the pace of events continues to accelerate, is to do more what I call tour of the horizon type discussions, because there are so many things happening on so many fronts, and they're all, of course, interconnected, that merely to focus on one or two of them, I think, would be to do a disservice to people who are listening. I think a good place to start, and we have to talk about the economy, and, of course, the declining dollar, would be with the news out of the Gulf region today. Bloomberg Wire Service today had a story headlined, Gulf States May End Dollar Pegs, a Kuwait minister says. And the first sentence says that the Gulf States, of course, that would be the Persian Gulf area states, the oil-producing satrapies that are more or less satellites of the Federal Reserve in terms of their banking policies. Gulf States are considering dropping their pegs to the dollar after the U.S. currency's decline stoked inflation across the region, Kuwaiti Finance Minister Mustafa al-Shamali said. To go down a little bit further in the story, inflation is rising in the Gulf to a great extent because of loose monetary policy, said Marios Marathefis, head of research for Standard Chartered in the Middle East, the telephone interview from Dubai. Tightening monetary policy can only happen if they drop their currency pegs or strengthen the currency, preferably both. Inflation is running close to 10% in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, while Qatar's consumer prices rose 14% in the fourth quarter. But bear in mind, these are some of the wealthiest countries on Earth, not necessarily on a per capita basis, but in terms of what they have in the way of energy resources and cash reserves. And because their central banks are more or less compelled to inflate because of the dollar peg, they're compelled to inflate at a rate concomitant with that of the United States, they've got these rampaging consumer inflation rates that I think are far better indicators of what's going on in our own economy with respect to the real level of monetary and price inflation. And, of course, these governments now are talking about dropping their dollar pegs, revaluing the currencies, when Kuwait last year revalued its currency. It appreciated 7.9% against the dollar since a year ago they dropped their dollar peg. This has not gone unnoticed in the Persian Gulf region. And just a couple of months ago, Alan Greenspan, who has done probably more than any other human being in history to destroy the wealth of humanity as chairman of the Federal Reserve, was speaking in Saudi Arabia at a meeting of investors and financial and monetary officials in the region. And he urged the countries of that region to do exactly what they're talking about doing right now, which is decouple from the dollar. And that, of course, would have catastrophic effects on what's going on here in the American economy. That would drive the United States flat out into an unambiguous depression. I argue right now we're in the early stages of a depression. I think that any sober observer of what's going on would reach the same conclusion, or at least provisionally reach the same conclusion. But if the dollar peg were destroyed by these countries that are in the business of propping the dollar up by accepting an exchange for petroleum, then we would fall, I think, right away into the abyss of an unmistakable depression. Just yesterday, a couple of days ago, actually, Iran, which is the second largest oil producer in the OPEC cartel, announced that it was no longer doing business in exchange for dollars in its own oil bourse, which is its market for petroleum. They're accepting other currencies, primarily the euro, and they will not do business in dollars. They will not transact those exchanges in dollars. That's something which is probably helping to lead the tropism toward war in the Persian Gulf against Iran. And now that Iran is decoupled and Kuwait is decoupled, it stands to reason that a lot of these other countries that are part of this arrangement that we call the petrodollar pact that was created first with Saudi Arabia back in 1973 or 74 by Henry Kissinger. These countries start peeling away from the dollar, and the dollar is done. There's just no escaping that conclusion. And I find a certain evil but predictable symmetry in the fact that the individual most responsible for destroying the value of the dollar, Alan Greenspan, is the one who's now told the people who've been propping up the dollar to finish the work he started, which was the consummate destruction of our currency. I've made the remark before, but it bears repeating. It took the Roman Empire the better part of half a millennium to destroy the value of the denarius. It was devalued by 99%. It lost 99% of its value by 410 AD when the Visigoths crested the Seventh Hill. It's taken the United States government since 1913 to destroy over 95% of the United States dollar through heedless profligacy on the part of government and, of course, rampant monetary inflation by the Federal Reserve. So what it took The Roman Empire, half millennium to accomplish, Washington has managed to do in a little less than a century. And that explains, of course, why prices are simply going crazy for consumers, whether you're talking about purchasing gas at the pump, whether you're talking about going to the checkout line at a grocery store, and, of course, whether you're talking about buying all the amenities that we would pick up at your local big-box retailer electronics store. Most of these things, almost all these things, of course, are imported now. We don't really have an industrial capacity to speak of in this country. The prices are all going up in a really radical and astonishingly rapid fashion, and it's leaving a lot of people breathless. And it's only going to get worse. There simply is no way that we're going to avoid spikes in consumer prices for essentials and for luxuries, the likes of which we've not dealt with, if ever, for at least the last generation or so.
Well, you know, I think it's really very interesting that, of course, we've been able to buy things very cheaply that have come in from Thailand and from China and from other countries. In fact, we have really benefited tremendously from their low prices and the fact that we could purchase their products at a very, very low rate. Unfortunately, as you're looking and seeing what's going on, those prices are beginning to increase. If you look at the goods that are coming from China, they are increasing in value, costing us more. The same thing is true for Thailand and South America. And as the dollar falls more and more, all of these goods are going to cost more and more. So the good days are over. But, you know, as I look at what's going on, William, the thought crosses my mind. As terrible as I feel about what's happening, the fact that so many of our elderly citizens are going to be wiped out financially, they've led the good life, they've put away money for their retirement, and that money is going to very, very soon lose even half or maybe three-quarters or maybe all of its residual value. But unless something crisis comes about, there's no hope of saving America. When we come out at the far end of this, and Ron Paul said this in some of his testimony or remarks in the banking committee, when we come out of this, you've got to come out one of two ways. You're either going to come out as a totalitarian dictatorship or a free people, and the only way we're ever going to become a free people is for people to be hurt and suddenly begin to ask, why are these things happening? And that's why what you do and what I do is so important. Hopefully there are going to be enough people who really become informed and will join us in this effort to take America back.
Indeed, there are some fairly optimistic portents in the air right now. For instance, Ron Paul's new book. It's a very slender and very readable book called The Revolution, A Manifesto, which represents just condensed common sense about the Constitution and monetary policy and non-interventionist foreign policy. That is number one on sales on the Amazon.com list, and it's going to debut, if I'm informed correctly, at number seven on the New York Times bestseller list. And that, of course, the latter indication, the New York Times bestseller list, is talking about sales through brick-and-mortar stores. In other words, it doesn't include the tabulation through Amazon.com and the other online outlets that are providing consumers direct access to that book. That suggests that there is a huge and growing constituency in this country for plain talk and common sense rooted in the Constitution and the pretty much inviolable laws of economics with respect to the analysis of the problem that we're in right now and the likely solution. So that is something that very much heartens me. On the other hand, you take a look at the other contrary contemporary example of a country that has succumbed to hyperinflation, as we very well might, what's going on in Zimbabwe right now. They just had an election where the population voted the wrong way, the quote-unquote wrong way, to remove Robert Mugabe's totalitarian party. And so Mugabe has let loose the equivalent of the brown shirts in Zimbabwe, the so-called war veterans, to go around and terrorize people in what is being called Operation Where Did You Put Your Cross? In other words, if you voted incorrectly and the voting rolls are the ballot rolls are not by no means private in Zimbabwe, then these goons will show up at your house and beat you and terrorize you. And the most recent outrage that they've committed is they have been abducting the children of people who voted the quote-unquote wrong way in Zimbabwe. And that, of course, is perfectly of a piece with the type of dictatorial regime that we might very well succumb to here. If we go the wrong way when we come out the other end of this crisis that's unfolding right now, you've got a government over there that is inflating in ways that have not been seen in human history, where you have inflation rates north of 140,000%, I think last I heard, an annual inflation rate. A government that is capable of dishonesty and theft and profligacy of that order of magnitude certainly would scruple at nothing to retain power. And that's, of course, a regime that was put in place with Washington's help.
Not only put in place, but kept in place.
Kept
at the present
place.
Time, we're financing their battle on AIDS, sending them a lot of money so they can fight AIDS. We're sending them money for agriculture. We're sending finance to the UN aid to that country. We're financing the communist Chinese. We actually have their military there, keeping Mugabe in place. The United States State Department and the United States taxpayer is keeping Mugabe in power. We'll be right back.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Ted Turbolizard, and I am inviting you to the Great Freedom Rally on the West Lawn of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on April 15th. This is being billed as a gathering of the Freedom Tribes from across the United States, and there will be many wonderful speakers and entertainers there from across the nation, including Dave Von Kleist, Will to Power, Ron Paul, Murray Sabrin, Wanda Case, Lakota Sioux Elders, and many, many more. Some of my favorites include B.J. Lawson of North Carolina and Dean Santoro of Florida, who, along with myself, represent a new breed of Republicans who will be speaking out for an end to the economic slavery of the United States people due to excessive taxation and pointing to a future of prosperity through faith and free market economics. For more information, visit gcnlive.com, taxday08.com, hauling.ronpaulroadshow.org, or grannywarriors.com. You can help sponsor this celebration by making a donation at grannywarriors.com, the organizers of this event. See you there in D.C. on the 15th.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and William was simply talking about what's going on in Rhodesia. Let me just briefly review what I said. First of all, the government, United States government, is sending this ruthless tyrant thug murderer, mass murderer. He's killed 15,000 of his political opponents, and right now they're on a reign of murder and beating and rape there to punish anybody who voted against Mugabe. Oh, now, who is financing him? Why, you are, ladies and gentlemen. We set $10 million for agriculture or agribusiness, and that money is being dispensed by the government. Do you really think it's going there? No, it's going to keep Mugabe in power. And then, of course, United Nations food aid. Who puts up the money for it? Well, we put up about 25 cents of it. Supposedly going to the starving there in Rhodesia? No, it's going to keep Mugabe in power. He's using that and giving the food to his supporters, but anybody who opposes him doesn't get any food. And then, of course, we have our program to fight AIDS in Zimbabwe, so they give them a lot of money to fight AIDS. And, oh, it's just so wonderful we're fighting AIDS there. No, we're keeping Mugabe in power and giving his administration money. That's what's keeping him in power. And then, of course, our good friends from Communist China are giving him loans. And who's subsidizing Communist China? Who's, you know, subsidizing Communist China that's keeping Mugabe in power and has their troops over there to keep him in power? Why, you are, ladies and gentlemen, with loans from the International Monetary Fund, from the East Europe, pardon me, from the East Asia Bank, from the World various organizations, International Monetary Fund, World Bank, East Asia Development Corporation, the Export-Import Bank, and then, of course, American corporations going over to China. But they're not going over there on their own. They're being encouraged to go to Communist China, and we promise that if they're factories over there are nationalized, we'll not pay them all the money that they've lost. We'll double or triple that. I was told this by a United States congressman. Of course, he was immediately voted out of office. They don't want the American people to know that we're financing the ruthless regime in China, just as we're financing the ruthless regime in Rhodesia or Zimbabwe today. That would go against the grain. The Americans would be offended. I sometimes wonder when I see what's happening in Rhodesia or Zimbabwe today, if that's sort of a trial of what they plan for America. I certainly hope not. But you pick up the story there, William.
What you described in brief capsule summary here has been more or less the constant and consistent policy of Washington since about 1933 or earlier, where the American taxpayers have been mulcted by Washington in order to subsidize business and to build up the industrial capacity of regimes from Stalin's Soviet Union through what's going on today in Zimbabwe or Rhodesia under Robert Mugabe. It's always been the case that absent the subsidies provided by U.S. taxpayers, most of the companies, almost all of the companies that have been involved in building up these regimes have nothing to do with those enterprises. They're really the beneficiaries of an arrangement in which the risks are subsidized and the liabilities and losses are paid off. They are socialized by the taxpayers, and the profits are kept private. And there's always been this mutual attraction between thugs of the Robert Mugabe, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong type, on the one hand, and political operators who are nominal capitalists but actually corporatists on the other. The offspring of that union looks a whole lot like Dick Cheney, the man from Halliburton, somebody who has made a literal killing in taxpayer-subsidized ventures of the sort we're describing here. The thing that I find so repellently fascinating about what's going on in Zimbabwe right now is you had an election, and it was an election that for the first time in quite a while, Mugabe's party did not outright control. People were allowed to vote. There was a movement for democratic change, which has been around for 8 or 10 years. The MDC is an opposition party that has been gaining strength in large measure because people are literally fed up with the fact that they have to pay increments of hundreds of thousands or even millions of Zimbabwean dollars to buy a modest meal. And when you have inflation at that level, which I think is the highest recorded inflation rate in human history, coupled with the wholesale expropriation of farms by the so-called war veterans, which are just cadres of brown shirt style goons that are unleashed by Robert Mugabe against his political enemies. And the nominal leader of that group is a fellow who gave himself the nickname Hitler, to give you an example of the type of people we're talking about. But when you have these types of developments and outrages and atrocities being committed in the country, it's just amazing that people would have the temerity to go to the polling places and pull the lever or mark a ballot, knowing that their vote is not going to be confidential, knowing that there will be reprisals. And so here you have a situation where there's going to be a runoff in spite of the fact that Mugabe's party just flat out lost the election. They arranged a runoff. And in the interim, in the style of outcome-based education, the people are being put through a behavioral feedback loop. In this case, the behavioral feedback loop consists of an outright rampage by these people to beat and burn and kidnap the children of those who voted the wrong way.
Not only that, but they raped the women as well, Christian.
Exactly.
I'm hearing about this. American tax dollars at work. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with William Craig. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand we've created the best enemies money could buy, and not by accident, but by intent. There's a whole different agenda out there nobody's telling about.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10. $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Grigg. And before we go on, William, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog site.
I really appreciate that. The easiest way to find it is go to the website of the Right Source, which is the homepage of the Welch Foundation, for which I work as an editor-at-large. The web address for that is www.rightsourceonline.com. It's one word, rightsourceonline.com. Top of the page, there's a banner ad for my new book, Liberty and Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. That can be ordered directly through the website. And if you scroll down the screen, about a third of the way down the page, you'll find my photograph on the left-hand side of the page. And there are two hyperlinks. One will take you to the Pro Libertate e-zine, which comes out irregularly. Unfortunately, we'd like to have it come out every month, but due to the vagaries of my schedule, it comes out a little bit less consistently than that. And then the other is a link to my daily blog, which is also entitled Pro Libertate. As well, you can look up Pro Libertate in the Google search engine. It'll take you right to my blog. Or go to freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I try to update the blog every day. I usually succeed in updating it 3 to 5 times a week. And the blog is intended to be not just a collection of random passing reflections on what's going on in politics and culture. It's intended to be a 3 or 5 times weekly, fully sourced op-ed column that is of not just polemical nature, but hopefully as well something that provides some insight and occasionally some investigative reporting on things that are going on that are not widely appreciated with respect to the struggle to preserve, or better stated, to restore human freedom.
Well, I certainly agree, and I recommend that blog site. People go there, get William's material. It's excellent. So where do we go from here? Do you want to develop any more ideas with Rhodesia? Certainly we are facing probably the worst financial crisis, of the last century. And
yes,
I fear that this will be far worse than the 1929 crash, because at least at that time we had a moral people. We were a united people. We had one language. We had a gold-backed currency. And we had a tremendous industrial capacity. That's always been sent overseas, subsidized to go overseas, and I believe there's an organized, orchestrated, concerted effort on the part of the ruling elite to certainly impoverish our people, and they're doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, they've largely succeeded. The country you described doesn't exist anymore. It sounds like a wonderful place. I wish I could live there.
Well, I did live there, and I'll tell you, it was a wonderful place, William, and I look back on those days, and it was a whole different America.
Yeah, it really was. The reason why I thought it worthwhile to dwell at length on Zimbabwe is because here you have a contemporary example of a country that has succumbed to hyperinflation with a government that was put in place by the people who were ruling us, and so Mr. Mugabe should be considered a subcontractor of the people who were bearing rule here in the United States. Zimbabwe, when it was Rhodesia, of course, was the breadbasket of the African continent, and now it's an impoverished and completely destroyed completely destroyed culture, incapable of providing for itself. We're, of course, reaching a similar point in our own decline into tyranny, because we were once the world's leading manufacturer and the world's leading producer of agricultural products. And right now, we've gotten to the point where we literally have to import wheat. I was astonished to find out a year ago that the United States is importing wheat from, among other places, Canada. There's no excuse for that. That's an engineered form of artificial interdependence that is part of the system that you were describing. But it bears examination whether the United States, should the economy be completely destroyed, and we're dealing here with a culture that's been stripped mined of moral discipline, what will happen to the United States? Will we come to resemble in any way what's going on in Zimbabwe right now? These so-called war veterans are sycophants and hangers-on of Robert Mugabe and his regime. I thought it was interesting just yesterday to see a piece that was on the front page of USA Today that describes the extent to which our own government has created this huge and metastasizing class of tax-fed parasites that are called public employees. We've, during the first quarter of 2008, seen the private sector, the productive sector, that is to say, shed something like 186,000 jobs. According to USA Today, and I'm quoting now, federal, state, and local governments are hiring new workers at the fastest pace in 6 years, helping offset job losses in the private sector. Governments added 76,800 jobs in the first 3 months of 2008, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports. By the way, I was wrong. It wasn't 186,000. It was 286,000 jobs that were lost in the private sector in the first 3 months of this year. And, of course, speaking the language of Keynesianism, Lord Maynard Keynes is the architect of the modern socialist economy that we live under. Some economists quoted here by USA Today say that this government hiring binge could help soften a recession in the short term. Well, no, it won't, because every time government adds a job, it's adding to the ranks of people who are engaged in purely consumption-oriented behavior. They don't produce wealth, they consume wealth. All they produce, of course, would be regulations, coercion, and another increment of a burdensome weight that's placed on the back of the productive people in our society. And the USA Today story says that the government hiring boom began last year around July 1st, when most state and local governments started new fiscal years. Those budgets were based on forecasts established in a strong economy. In each quarter since, the total government workforce has been the most in at least 6 years. Now, that's an interesting point, the fact that these people who hired these new tax-fed parasites did so at a time when the projections for the economy were actually fairly optimistic. The problem here, of course, is that the economy now is in the middle of a, well, the beginning of an overt and unmistakable downturn. So what's going to happen to these people who have just been hired by these various governments, of which we have, according to the USA Today story, 88,000 units afflicting this country? Well, these people are not going to be summarily fired. It's not one of the... We're not going to see the last in being the first to go the way that you would be in a company that faces a severe economic downturn. What's likely, I think, is that these people will be kept on the public payroll for as long as possible, that the governments that hired them, whether you're talking about states or counties or municipalities, certainly the federal government, these entities that hire these people are going to be looking for new ways to chisel and extort revenue out of the productive segment of the population so as to keep the parasites well fed. And if it gets to the point where municipalities and other units of government, states, for instance, that are already debt-plagued, can no longer bear the burden of paying the wages of the people that they've added to their payrolls, and they have to start letting people go, into what line of work will these people go once they have lost their public employment? I suspect that if things get really, really bad here in the United States, if we have a breakdown of public order, if we see ourselves descending into anything remotely resembling Zimbabwe-style hyperinflation and social chaos, we're going to have the same type of thing happen here in the United States, where people who are in the business of living off the labor of others will continue in that line of work, whether or not they are acting as public employees. And that's the sort of thing that, from time to time, as societies have broken down, we have seen. If you go back to the 17th century, the period just after the 30 Years' War, when the various crown heads of Europe hired mercenaries called conditori, or conditori, to fight on the battlefields on behalf of the various kingdoms. After the war, these unemployed soldiers, these unemployed mercenaries, simply spent several years roaming the countrysides and terrorizing people because they'd gotten involved in that line of work that developed a taste for it. Many of the outlaw gangs of the post-Civil War era here in the United States started that way. The James Younger gang and people of that sort, Bill Anderson and so forth, they were people who had been involved in guerrilla warfare as part of the war effort, and they were involved in that line of work after the war had ended. The same thing happened with the pirates who wrote the colorful history of the Spanish Main after the 30 Years' War. These people had been privateers employed by the various governments to ply their trade, and they continued in that occupation after the war was over. I suspect that if we have find ourselves in the middle of a severe economic downturn and suddenly these so-called public employees are left to fend for themselves, especially if you're talking about people who are involved in law enforcement or the military or quasi-public entities like Blackwater, I can see them adhering to each other as outlaw gangs and going about plundering people as a way of subsisting. I can see the government permitting them to do so. I really am cynical enough to see that if we have a complete economic collapse, that's the kind of thing that could happen. That's one of the possibilities against which people should be steeling themselves and preparing to deal with in the event that we have a huge economic meltdown in this country. We've never seen a government as big as that which afflicts the United States of America. We talk about communist China and post-Soviet Russia. We talk about regimes like Hugo Chavez's in Venezuela and Fidel Castro's, now Raul Castro's in Cuba, or the regime of Kim Jong-il in North Korea. Those are all very nasty governments, but not a single one of them is anywhere near as big or as expensive or as powerful or employs as many people as the government of the United States of America. And so if we end up with a situation where these people cannot meet payroll, and some of these people have to be let go, what happens next? You know, really, the prospects, I think, chill the soul.
Well, I certainly agree with you. And I was just thinking, though, about the North Korean regime, looking at that as we do on Zimbabwe. And ever since, well, probably the first Bush regime, certainly under the Clinton regime, we were always financing the North Koreans. And
yeah.
If we would find one excuse or another, they promised to be good. Well, we'll give you a lot of food. We'll give you a lot of money. We'll give you a lot of oil. We'll build another nuclear reactor for you. Oh, my goodness, you violated. Well, you know, if you'll just be good, why, we'll give you more. And we can't let the American people understand that we are financing these totalitarian regimes throughout the world. And one thing, William, the only thing that good I can see coming out of this is as the economy collapses and the government doesn't have the amount of money coming in, they're going to have to cut back on a lot of these subsidies to foreign countries that are keeping ruthless dictators and communists in power.
Yeah. Although one possibility that has been mooted by, among other people, Ann Williamson. Ann Williamson is a former writer for the Wall Street Journal, a former Russia correspondent for the Washington Post, and one of the sharpest observers of the economic system. She's got a wonderful book and manuscript that's never been published called Contagion, which about 10 years ago started to predict or predicted what we're starting to see unfold right now. She's talked about the possibility that as our currency collapses in value, one of the things Washington may turn to would be a form of national service slash conscription where you'd basically have sort of a debt-for-labor swap. We've heard of debt-for-nature swaps being imposed on countries by the World Bank and the IMF in Latin America and Africa and Asia, where in order to deal with intractable debt, these people have simply turned over highly valuable swaths of land or territory or natural resources to people who are part of this UN-associated industrial cartel. What Ann Williamson said is that based on the same principle, we could see where sometime in the future you've got all these young people who want to go to college, but their employment prospects are dim. We've got an aging population that needs to be taken care of. The UN and NATO and other transnational organizations are going to need manpower to carry out so-called humanitarian missions, as well as peacekeeping and peace enforcement missions by the military. So an arrangement might be made whereby a bankrupt United States government would impose a type of national service to provide basically the flesh and blood of our youngsters as a form of collateral for a bailout. I mean, that's something that, once again, we're talking about things that are speculative, but in terms of the principles involved, it's not that great of a leap from where we are right now and what we have seen in terms of policies that have been imposed on other debtor countries in the past. There's never been a debtor of a magnitude like the government of the United States. And so extrapolating from present trends and policies and the best practices, so to speak, of the people who are running things right now, the type of speculation Ann Williamson offers here is really not irresponsible at all. And it's also, of course, been speculated that if the dollar completely loses its value, one thing that might happen will be the creation of a new political architecture around the so-called North American Union and the issuance of this new currency that has been referred to as the Amero. That's a possibility as well that can't be discounted. There was just a summit, the fourth North American Leaders Summit in New Orleans on the 21st and 22nd of April, the month just passed. And one of the things that was discussed here was the idea of a complementary arrangement between the United States and Mexico, similar to the one that was reached with the United States and Canada earlier this year, that would permit exchange of military troops across borders. In the case of Mexico, of course, the rationale would be to fight the war on drugs. In the case of Canada, the rationale would be to deal with natural disasters or with terrorist events or things of that nature. There's a report by John Ross in the current issue of Counterpunch where it talks about the fact that, and I'm quoting now, high-level cabinet ministers accompanying their bosses to New Orleans during the NAFTA summit here for a series of hush-hush bilateral head knockings. These negotiations are not open to public scrutiny or congressional oversight. Agreement was announced on setting up a biometric database of all travelers, visa applicants, and passport holders entering the U.S. from Mexico. Money for the database will be drawn from the White House's $1.4 billion Plan Mexico, also known as the Merida Initiative, a clone of Plan Colombia that would equip and train repressive Mexican security forces cited by international human rights organizations as responsible for myriad human rights violations. One goal of the Security and Prosperity Partnership, that's the official name for the entity that we generally call the North American Union, is to legitimize U.S. troop deployment on Mexican soil to combat hypothetical threats to the United States. Of course, it's not threats to the United States per se that we're talking about. We're talking about the merger of the military elements of the United States with those of Mexico and those of Canada in a way that would be conducted outside the framework of our Constitution and creating, in the material sense, the facts on the ground of a new political configuration, a new nation that will be called North America. And, of course, political and economic and military union would eventually mean, I believe, some kind of currency union. And so if the dollar is completely destroyed, people would be more receptive to the idea of surrendering the dollar now that its value has been evaporated, surrendering the dollar and embracing some other alternate currency. I mean, if people are hungry and desperate, they'll accept all kinds of settlements that otherwise would be simply inconceivable. I mean, an empty stomach is a powerful inducement to negotiate and to accept things that otherwise you'd find to be completely unacceptable. And we might be heading in that direction sooner than a lot of people think.
And I think that is exactly the reason they are intentionally and purposely destroying the value of our currency. Why Alan Greenspan would go over to Riyadh and Saudi Arabia and tell the people there to cut their ties to the American dollar, because he knows, of course, if once the dollar loses reserve status, there are going to be about $3 trillion out there that are going to come flooding back into this country, and that will totally destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. What a wonderful, wonderful scheme they've got worked out. And just the American people suddenly begin to realize that this is not happening by accident, it's happening by intent. Our guest today has been William Grigg. As always, it's a pleasure, William. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we look forward to having you with us again next week.
Thanks so much. God bless.
Good night. God bless. And of course, this is certainly Dr. Stan, and we're going to tell you in just a moment or two where you can get the various items to document what we're saying. So if you haven't read my pamphlet on the financial meltdown or heard my talk on the financial tsunami, you need to. Call us at 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22 ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's H-E-A-R-I-T-O-N-L-I-N-E.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I just want to mention a few of the things that I hope that you'll want to get. If you want to understand what's happening financially, of course, my talk, Financial Tsunami, along with the syllabus, will give you tremendous insight into what's going on. We have two other pamphlets. One is called The Financial Meltdown, and the other is called The History of Money. You need to understand money before you can understand what's taking place. And then we do carry, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. And then, of course, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. Now, to understand really how we are financing communism throughout the world, let me suggest my interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away called The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. It's on DVD. And then, of course, there's a book he wrote by the same title. We had two books. One is Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, going into how we finance communism since its inception. You need to get this book. You need to read it and study it. The other book is Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. And we financed Adolf Hitler, American corporations, American banks, and manufacturers, Exxon, or I should say at least the Standard Oil Company, were financing Hitler not only before the war, but during the Second World War, the best enemy money could buy. So that's Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and another book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. And then, of course, we have a little pamphlet. It's inexpensive, only $3.95. It's called The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. And as far as just consolidating the facts of what's going on, you'll not find anything better. And if you want to buy these in mass numbers, why, we'd be glad to sell them to you at a discount. We carry William Griggs' excellent book, Liberty in Eclipse. That's Liberty in Eclipse. And then, of course, my talk on the planned police state. That's the planned police, not that I say they say, but the things that they do say from their websites and from their pamphlets that they're sending out. There really is a spiritual force behind this move to establish a dictatorship in America. Unless you understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, you're going to be like everybody else. You're going to think this has to do with Republicans and Democrats, or right or left, or conservatives or liberals, or communists and capitalists. This is all simply to mislead you. There is a unifying force behind everything, driving us ever closer towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and enthroning the new world leader under a ruling oligarchy. So we do hope that you'll go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, read our newsletters, all for nothing. And then we hope you'll want to get many of our products we produced, or, and of course, specifically the items I've mentioned here. Those about finances, the financial tsunami, the talk, and syllabus that goes with that, and then, of course, the booklets on the history of money and the booklets on the financial meltdown, and then the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And don't, of course, forget to get my pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance, Professor Sutton's excellent book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, my interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, and the book by the same title. Understand that nothing as it appears to be. You're being intentionally misled. The United States government brought Fidel Castro to power, and, of course, maintained him in power. And if you doubt that, you need to get our talk on the World Revolution. You will see my interview with Ambassador Smith, Ambassador E.T. Smith, back in 1980. He was the ambassador to Cuba at the time that your State Department and your CIA brought Fidel Castro to power, creating the best enemy money could buy. So please pray for America. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Radio.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 psi, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey